Keep your Bibles open. I hope they're to Romans chapter 8. In just a few minutes, we'll look at another passage in, or look at that again, I should say, in Romans chapter 8. Just briefly, let me say thank you. Thank you for letting me be here with you this week. I look forward to the opportunity. It is a blessing and a privilege anytime you can stand before children of God and teach the gospel. And it's a serious responsibility to try to share that word to people and lead them in the way toward God. And I take that very seriously, and I will this week. And if there's anything I can do throughout the week to serve you in any way, that's why we're here, and we're glad to do that. Now, before we start our lesson this morning, I will say this. Romans 1, for the gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. We know that God's power is the gospel. But I want to remind you, it will not be power for me and you if we don't take what we hear and apply it to our lives. That's it. It's only power to the people who take it and put it to work in their lives. So that's your challenge this week. Take some of the things we're going to talk about, walk out of here each day or night, and then ask yourself, how can I better live and put this to work? Now, let's get into the lesson this morning briefly here as we have. I want to talk about some realities that God has set. There's a long list of those you can make. I really only want to focus on two. Two large realities that God has set in place himself. Now, let me give you a definition. I'm not using PowerPoint today. I hope that's okay. Maybe the rest of the week, but not today. We're just going to open our Bibles. We're going to work through this. So let me just give you a definition straight out of a dictionary. The word reality, this definition says the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. He goes on to say a thing that exists in fact. So there are certain realities that have been set, and you can't change them. You can't alter them. You can't adapt them. They are just facts that have been set. And whether you accept them, believe them, or not, it doesn't matter. They are realities that will not be changed. And no matter how you and I react to that reality, will not change the reality in and of itself. Let me give you just some obvious illustrations. You stick your hand in a fire. What's going to happen? It's going to burn. You're going to burn your hand. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether it happens accidentally or if you're just crazy enough to intentionally put your hand in a fire, which I hope you don't, then you're going to get burned. Now, the only question is going to be how long do you leave your hand in and how far reaching are the consequences of that burn? I've been burned before when I was a fireman for many, many years, and I got some burns and some accidents and fires I was in. I had some little scars, a couple things that are there still on my legs. Not big, but they're there. But they leave that lasting effect, and some people much more severe than have been injured. Another reality that you cannot alter. If you step off the roof of your house, you're going to the ground. Gravity's taking you down. You can deny that gravity exists. You can just be stubborn and reject the idea that there's any such thing as gravity. I got news for you. Step off a high point, and no matter how you feel about gravity, you're going to the ground. So, you kind of get the idea? There are just certain realities in life that have been set, and you can't change them. And how you react to that, accept it, reject it, accidentally fall victim to it, doesn't matter. There are consequences. When you don't know what those realities are and you don't obey those realities, you either get burned or you fall and break a leg, a neck, or worse. So that concept we understand. Our kids, when they're really little and you're having a campfire, you're having a big cookover, and you're roasting marshmallows, and you're making s'mores, and the big fire is burning, all the parents, little children, what do we always do? We watch them around the fire. They don't know yet. They're still learning what those realities are, and they're still so little. So that's my job. When you start to put your hand, oh, careful, that'll burn you. And you teach them. So part of life, as we're growing, is being taught what are these realities I need to know about, learn what they are, and then live in a wise way in keeping with those realities. So, you know, we used to have a cookout every year when we were here in the Grange, and there would be a big fire burning around this time of year, and they would be the marshmallows and stuff that would be happening, and I would sit there, and it would get hot sometimes. And I even knew, you know, there was just a limit I could put my hand to roast my marshmallow. You didn't go for it, birds. You learned that. God has some realities that he set beyond nature. Those realities, the best life, please hear me when I say this, because it is a fact. It's a reality. The best life, the only joyful life that you're ever going to really have, is a life that understands what God's realities are, and then you live within that reality. And when you don't live within that reality, you don't enjoy the best life. You never will. So let me give you the first one. The first reality that is true of all, we're all created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, we know that. But it's beyond that. We're not just created in his image. We are created, number one, to have and to constantly be developing a loving relationship with God. Now let that sink in for a minute. That is a fixed, unalterable, unchangeable reality. You were created to enter a loving, caring relationship with God, period. That's why he made us. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And what did he have for them? He had that, didn't he? He walked, the text says, he walked with them in the garden. When they heard him after they sinned, they heard the Lord. How did they hear him? How did they know it was him? And not just a horse or something else running them, because they knew, because they'd heard him before. And they walked with him, and they talked with him, and they had that intimate relationship with God. And so that's how they knew, and that's what God's always wanted. He wants a relationship with you and I, and he's provided everything possible to facilitate that relationship. And what he tells you and I is, you were created for a relationship with me. And now you need to want that relationship more than anything else in your life. We are relational people. Everyone even here nearly is married. That's old enough. You have friends. You have neighbors. We're relational people. That's just how we're made, isn't it? We want relationships. We need them. Even the really tough people. I don't mean it. Yes, you do. I know you do. Everybody needs that relationship in their life. But the most important relationship is the one that we have with God. And you will never enjoy true happiness in this life if you don't have and are always building that relationship with God. You can't. Because you're not living within your reality that you were created. And the moment you reject it or don't accept it or fully embrace it, there are always consequences. Just like the fire, just like gravity. Such is the case in my relationship with God. What's the first and greatest commandment? Without saying it, you know it, don't you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. He says in Mark 12, he doesn't just say it's the greatest. In Mark 12, he says that's the foremost command. It's the chief of all, that you love God. And develop that loving relationship with God. So what that means is, it's not a life that what you want, or what you believe, or what you want to do. Not if you're going to live within the reality. It's a life that wants what God wants and lives in that relationship with God. So one chief reality that you either abide by and enjoy the blessings, or you reject and face the consequences, is you're made for a relationship with God. So before I look at the last point, how are you doing with that one? How are we doing? How are you doing? Are you developing that relationship daily? Really drawing closer to God? Developing a deeper communication? Because relationship is built on communication. If you don't have communication, there's no relationship. Period. That's why God communicated with us the same way we do, through the medium of words, until we have Scripture. It's that way. It's always been that way. It's that simple. You don't talk, you don't have a relationship. Right? Some of you, I've probably seen many, many years ago when I would visit some for meetings here, but we don't really have a relationship. Some of you, because I don't really know you. Right? Here we go, right here. I got no clue who this guy is. I've never met him in my life, and I'm going to later. But we don't really have a close relationship. He doesn't really know me. I don't really know him. Not yet, at least. That's going to change before today's over, I hope. And then what will happen? We will communicate. I'll find out what his name is. He'll find out more about me. And then the relationship begins. It's all about communication. God communicated with you through the medium of that thing sitting in your lap. You communicate with him through prayer. Relationship with God is built that way. So you need to ask yourself, how are you doing in your relationship with God? Number two. Just two this morning. Here's another set reality. And I will tell you that this one's really big to me. I find a way, at least I try to find a way, multiple times about a month where we're at in Alabama now, to emphasize this point. Somehow, some way. Sometimes I'll just remind everybody before I even start a sermon. The second reality that you and I have no option to embrace it or reject it, either way, and be blessed or suffer consequences, is you were made to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You, the reality that has been set by God, is you were made, and God's desire for you is that you be shaped, molded, conformed, just like you take Play-Doh in your hand, and when you're a kid, you shove that Play-Doh through the star or the square or the circle, and that Play-Doh takes the form of that shape that you're being pressed in. We're to be people who are pressed into the image of Christ and look like God.
You still there, Romans 8? Can I look at it one more time with you? And we know, verse 28, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Paul's there. Called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? He says that you're called to this purpose. Well, what is the purpose? Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Here is a supreme reality in the life of everybody. Some don't accept it. Some do and then get tired of it. Some embrace it and lean into it every day. Your choice. Either embrace the reality and enjoy the blessings, reject it and face the consequences. But you were made, and God's intent for all of us here is that we are daily being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Every day, I'm to be a person who's looking more and more like Christ. But it goes further than that. And this is really challenging for me and you.
not only am I to embrace that reality for me, that I need to be looking like Christ more each day than the last. That's God's eternal purpose for us. That's what Romans 8, 29 down says. But I need to be living the kind of life that helps Christ to be conformed in you. How you deal with that one? I'm to be living in such a way that my behaviors, my choices, my decisions helps Christ be formed in you. It helps you look like Christ. And your responsibility is to me. You're trying to help Christ be formed in me. Just as I'm trying it with you, you do it with me.
In every aspect of our lives, in everything we do, every situation, every challenge, every difficulty, every disagreement, every contention, every good thing that happens, every bad thing that happens, it does not matter. All of those situations, all of them are to be viewed through the lens of, I'm trying to have Christ be formed in my life, and I'm trying to help Christ to be conformed in your life. And that you look more like Christ every day.
Do you remember what Paul said? Galatians 2, I think, verse 20. It's not I that live, but Christ in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul says, it's not I that live, but Christ in me. And so, one of those realities
that cannot be altered, you can't change it, you can't undo it, nothing you can do is going to have any effect on the reality that God has said. He wants you to be conformed to His Son's image, and He wants you and I to help one another to be conformed into the image of Christ and to look like Him. And as Paul said in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of humility, the mind of service, the mind of self-sacrificing.
So, here's where it gets challenging. You and I have a disagreement. Some big decision we don't see eye to eye. And it may be something within the work here, maybe something, it doesn't matter. Just, we're on the same page. Or maybe inadvertently, or maybe intentionally, I did something to hurt your feelings. What do you do next? How do you react? How do you behave? And how many of you think about, in that moment, they made me angry. How many of you think about, in this next response, I need to be thinking about Christ formed in me? But if I may... Steve, or vice versa. Let's just pick Steve. I need to be thinking about how I'm going to react in this maybe conflict. Maybe Steve and I have a conflict. How am I going to react? I want to react in a way that makes sure that Christ is formed in Steve. And that part of that's going to happen by how I react and how I behave. So do I shine in that moment in, as Christ? Do you see Christ in my speech or my demeanor or the word? It's all of that. Do you see Christ in how I react when we have a disagreement or we get in an argument about something? Do you see Christ in me? Because that's important for me, and it's important for you because I'm trying to help Him be conformed in you. And so I have to sometimes think, is this next thought, is this next action going to help Christ be formed in you or not? Is it going to help that process in me and you, or is it going to hinder it? It's really a challenging thought to ask yourself, how are you doing with that? And really daily being shaped to look like Jesus Christ. To deal with brethren the way He did. To love the way He loved. To forgive the way He forgave. To rebuke the way He rebuked. To do all the things that He did. How are we doing?
Because I told you, You can reject this. You can ignore it. You can pretend it's not there.
But it will not change. It's a reality. And there are consequences. If you aren't being conformed to Christ's image, if you're not building that relationship with her, there are consequences. And they're evident in your life. You can't hide them. They're there. But the ultimate clearly is obvious when we stand before the Lord in judgment. And so all I want to do this morning before we stop, we're about to stop,
is just really challenge you to think about these two powerful realities that have been set by God. And challenge yourself, how am I doing in developing the relationship and looking like Christ? In all of my relationships and in all of my behavior. And I will tell you, it starts here. It starts right here. How I think. That's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It starts with how we think and how we see ourselves and how we see others. When I look at you, what I want to see is I want to look at you and see someone that God wants Christ formed in you. And I want to see more people that way. And then treat them that way. And have the mind of Christ have humility, sacrifice, and love. So Hebrews 12, there are the first two verses. Run with endurance the race that is set before you, he says in verse 2. Keeping your eyes, some of them say fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. That's what we're talking about. Fixing your eyes on Christ, always looking to him, and you see him in Scripture. And then pattern your life after his. So that's it for this morning. We're going to stop. And before we dismiss, before we're done, we'll have a prayer. I hope again, throughout the rest of the day, that you're able to each lesson just... I know you're not going to remember everything. That's understandable. I try to keep it short to make it easy, but I know. Just try this. Just take one thing from each lesson. If you could just give one and put it in your pocket, walk out here with it, think about it. Just take one, all right? So if you're going to walk out this morning, later, take this one. Live a life where you're constantly being conformed to the image of Christ and help each other do that. Help each other do that. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, as your children here this morning, we are beyond blessed. Your mercy, your grace, the abundant love that you give us, the forgiveness, the hope, everything we have in Christ. Father, I pray this morning as we leave later that, as we said, Father, help us all. Help all of us to challenge ourselves, to look within and be honest, and then strive each day to look more and more like Jesus. He is the flawless, perfect example. And Father, it's our goal and our prayer and our hope in keeping with your desire. We will live a life like that. But Father, as we close, I want to pray that you will help each of us, because we're not him. We strive to that end, but we fail frequently. We fall short. We don't behave like him on occasions. Father, I pray that we'll be humble, seek forgiveness, seek to change, and that we'll be patient with each other, as all of us are a habitual work in progress to look like your son and to be conformed to his image. And help us to be patient with each other as we work to that end, and all of us striving to be like Christ and one day to be with him eternally. Father, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.